No, this is reel five. What did you make of them?
Very little, because we couldn't understand them, and they were holding the sector on our right at one period.
Yeah.
And this particular night, when the officer, Lieutenant Venn, asked me to take the machine gun along the trench to the right to get away from our static position, rather than attract fire, Jerry fire, to our static position, we heard suddenly some voices. And I thought, oh, hell, because we weren't far away from the German lines. At one point, they told us, mind you, I didn't measure it.
Yeah.
They told us we were only 60 yards apart.
So what did you do when you heard these voices?
Well, we had to, in fact, what was, up, 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 up. And the officer knew enough to know they were French.
Yeah.
And it was an eerie experience, wondering whether you'd met Jerry's or somebody else.
Yeah.
And of course, that was the connecting line. They were at the end of our line, and that's all there was about it.
Yeah. Did you see much of them?
Oh, no. This was middle of the night. I couldn't have distinguished. We knew they'd got them.
Yeah.
They'd got the old tin helmets on. Not the same as ours, but very similar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they had a rib down the front, and ours were plain, that's all. But we had no... Well, of course, we couldn't have any conversation with them.
No,
I
of course not. When you were actually engaged in operations against the German forces, was there any particular thing that impressed you about the Germans? I mean, as soldiers?
No, except... Now you called me for jumping the gun.
I'm a bit of a bully, aren't I?
No. But the only contact... I never had any contact with Germans in 1915, only dead ones.
Yeah. But I wondered whether in your actual operations against them,
there
were aspects of their...
I think they were the same as we were.
Yeah.
The weather was so terribly bad, they were glad to keep their heads down as we were.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
You were saying that at the beginning of the war you could buy a bottle of wine from the French villages for a franc.
A franc, tenpence.
Yeah. How did that change?
Well, by virtue of the colonists and the Americans coming in with more. We only got a bob a day. They got a hell of a lot of money. They'd got it to spend, and by the time we came away, we had to pay 5 francs for a bottle of vin blanc that we were paying a franc for in 1915.
Yeah.
It's a fact. Now, you asked me how the other forces affected us.
Yeah.
Well, I never had any contact with them.
But they made the price of your booze.
That's the truth. Yeah. Now, look,
What about the French civilians? Did you have much contact with them?
Oh, yes, they were all right. If you'd got money to spend, they were quite happy to accept it. But, again, I've got to go to the end of the war and after the armistice to tell you about my real candid opinion and the experiences I had with the Belgian civilians.
Okay, tell me about that.
Yeah, well, that's the second phrase of my... I told you in the beginning... I only had two.
Tell me about your experiences in 1918 with the Belgian civilians.
Well, that mostly arising on the day of the armistice.
Yeah.
We'd been through these two very tight episodes on the Cambria front.
Yeah.
And I suppose by virtue, I couldn't stick it. I had to go sick. They put me on transport. I had, the tracking up of the Jerry's, as you can read. I know you don't remember it, but you can read how quick the Jerry's did run back when we got the master of them.
Yes.
And we were tracking day and night right through. We got through further than our original force got in the Battle of Mons in 1914.
But the contact with the Belgians,
well,
how did that
arise?
Well,
that's the point.
Yeah.
as we approached there, I had a place called Jerbees. That was the name of the place. It yeah. was near a coal mining, and it was 9 kilometres from Mons.
Yeah. What happened?
Well, we were showered with everything that could be given us, including bottles of vin blanc and cognac and devil and a what. We weren't sober for 3 days. I had, no, it's funny, don't think I'm boasting, I don't tell lies.
Go ahead.
I was driving, I'd been transferred to the transport. I was driving A Company's Lewis gun limber with a pair of mules. Consequently, I was the first mounted man to enter the village of Jerbees.
What was the reception like?
Everything you could expect and more than you could expect. Shouts of joy, they hadn't seen a British soldier. Mind you, the company, I wasn't the first man. I mean, I was following
yeah.
A Company.
Yeah. Tell me more about the scene.
Well, the civilians were out. They undoubtedly knew the war had finished. We were halted on a meadow. This village, we were then going through to take that. The village of Jerbees. That was one of the last stands yeah. the Germans ever made.
Yes.
The village of Jerbees.
Okay.
And we were halted at 9:45 in the morning on our way towards it.
Yeah.
We weren't more than a couple of kilometres from it. And we couldn't understand. All at once, halt. And we were pushed into a little paddock meadow. At 9:45, we said everybody was astounded. Good God, if Jerry dropped a shell here now, we shall all be killed.
Yeah, what was the scene with the Belgians?
Well, there was no Belgians there then, but my dear man, you must let me tell you how we come to march into Jerbees.
Go ahead.
We were halted at 9:45. And wondered why until one of our planes came over. Lo, we couldn't understand that. A message fluttered down. The adjutant sent his orderly to pick it up. It landed 200 yards away. When he come back, attention, the war is over. Everyone stay where he is. The war finishes. Armistice is signed as from 11 o'clock this morning. The 11th of October, 1918. Well, there was such a hooray in hell. Now, one of our sergeants, this is the Royal Scots Fusiliers, he said, right, cool, give us one of them guns, and the adjutant heard him. Because they were only pans, 48 rounds in a pan, our Lewis gun. Let's fire it. He said, don't. He said, don't you take a gun off that limber. He said, we're to stay where we are. Not a shot to be fired. If you fire that, Jerry may, but we didn't know where he was. We lost some men the night before. They were making the last stand. He said, he may be over the hedge. He lobbed something at us. We had enough of these. We've already come through dead people, what were killed the night before. You stay where you are. Well, no. We had to stay there until the all clear was given and then moved out in an orderly fashion, just as if we were on a parade ground. Marched into Jerbees. That was a village similar to, you don't know it, shall I say, New Buckingham, with a square and the staminets and this, that and the other. Well, now, we marched in there and nobody was attempting to keep quiet or anything else. We'd had the harassing time, and the Belgians were really, really pleased to see us. They hadn't taken any harm. They hadn't been in the fighting line at all, because they'd been occupied. They were in occupied territory.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me?
Yeah.
And they showered us with wines which the Germans didn't know they'd ever had. We drank what they gave us. As much as we could. We had barns allotted to it. Of course, there was the officers and the adjutant and so on. They found them where I went, with my pair of mules. There was three more pair in this whole barn, a wee pig down in another part of it. And lo and behold, at night, the old Belgium, he was an old man, and I assume his daughter, came with a lantern, disturbed us. Some of them had to move out of the way. He dug up brass door handles, and I can't imagine, I don't know what he dug up, a great big box of things, and they took them indoors the very first night we got there. What they'd had buried throughout the war.
Good. When you first went to France in 1915,
yes.
What was the relationship like between the officers and the men? How would you describe it?
Very official at your reception camps. We marched from Boulogne to Etaps, and that was all military order this, military order that, and so on. But when you got to the front line, your officer was the same as you are yourself, and your NCOs. You'd get the odd one that was officious, but the corporal in charge of the gun was Pepper. He wasn't corporal, he was Pepper. I'd like to see the fella now, the man I was with when I got hit. Mm-hmm.
Did this relationship between the officers and men in 1915, did it change in any way later in the war, in 1918, when you were out there?
Well, when I was out again in 18, it had changed to this extent. It's more a clannishness than anything else, because I was serving with a Scotch regiment, and I was, while I was in with the infantry in these actions, I was all right. I was in with the boys that I went out with, and there were more Englishmen than there were Scotchmen. Mm. But when it came to when I was transferred to the transport, there were only two Englishmen on the transport, and they were very, very clannish. You had to fight your way through to get your rights.
Yeah, but this was was there any difference in the relationship between the officers and the men?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Fine.
I don't think so.
Now, you of course were a volunteer.
Indeed.
What was your attitude towards the regular soldiers in the BF that you went out and served with?
We hadn't much time for them.
Why was that?
I'll tell you why. Yeah. They were old soldiers, and old soldiers never die. They'd be two of them get together, they'd get the Crown and Anchor board out, and until you knew where you were, you lost your 106 bob what you'd draw to Friday night.
Yeah.
And I know one, in the very early days, we hadn't been at Felixstowe, only from the Monday, we went there on a Friday, that's right. And it would be the following Friday we got paid, or 6 bob.
Yeah.
It was a shilling a day, but they always stopped the bob a week for something. Insurance, washing or something, though we would used to do our own. Anyway, on the Friday night, we'd had a tent for a canteen. And I used to have a drink, most of them did. But there was nothing else to do. And one of the old cooks, I shall never forget it, after lights were supposed to be out, we were in a house there at Felixstowe. There was about a dozen of us in the room, just the blankets on the floor. Old cook come in, this was about 9:30 at night. "Hey, my boys," he said, "there's some bread and cheese for you. Are you hungry? Anybody hungry?" He'd got a damn great old tray of bread and cheese, and of course most of us were anxious to have it, because rations were rations, but a boy can always eat more than he's allowed as rations are concerned. I'm not complaining about them.
Yes, carry on.
But this old cook, because he was an old sweat, and that was Friday night, he knew we'd got some pit. He dished this bread and cheese up round the way. Then he said, "Come on, cup or two for the old cooks, come around with his hat, was going to. But one old boy, I'm sure he'd never been in the army before, but he was a man at least 30, 35 then. And I knew his family from where I lived. He jumped up. He came from Canada to join up.
Yeah.
He says, I can know his words were, "Don't you boys give that old bugger a penny." He said, "He's now got to sell you the grub we should have bloody well had for tea."
Yeah.
That's fact.
Yeah.
And he hit him and knocked him out. He said, "Giddy out of the drum." And he was a fellow that was renowned for his fisticuffs.
So you didn't think too much of the regulars?
No, was that not in general.
That was a general thing.
They were exceptions. But after all, can you expect anything different? Could you expect a regular trained soldier to take in a lot of Timbuktu's come from every walk of life, some of them smart enough to keep clean the buttons and some had got to be pushed to it?
Well, I don't know. How did they react to you? To your volunteers?
Well, if you done your best, they accepted it. But your regulars, you got certain, you've heard the old Sergeant Major touch, haven't you?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I've known real pleasant and helpful Sergeant Majors. I've known one or two that were pigs.
Yeah. How do you think that the regulars and the volunteers compared as sort of fighting soldiers?
Well, that's a difficult question. The regulars, when you talk about fighting soldiers, you must be talking about the front.
Yeah, sure.
Well, the regulars, as such, they'd had experience of the war, and so they knew what to expect.